Have you ever wanted to talk to an AP voter and figure out why they put your favorite team in the spots that they did in their most recent AP ballot? Well, that's exactly what we have today. Nathan Baird from Cleveland.com is here with us to recap this past weekend's blowout, massive blowout win over the Maryland Terrapins, as well as tell us where he put the Ohio State Buckeyes in his ballot and why he put them where he did. All that and more in today's episode of Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. And today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. It is Tuesday, October the 12th in the year 2021. And I'm excited to welcome in Nathan Baird from Cleveland.com, as well as one of the voices you will hear on the Daily Buckeye Talk podcast, as him and I recap this past weekend's game, massive blowout, dominant performance from the Ohio State Buckeyes, and talk about his most recent AP ballot. A couple programming notes for the rest of the week, and then we'll get right into my conversation with Nathan Baird. Tonight, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, there will be live episodes every single night. Tonight, 7 p.m., Wednesday, 7 p.m., Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Normally, we don't go live on Wednesday, but this coming Wednesday, we will be live giving our mid-season report card for the Ohio State Buckeyes offense on Wednesday evening. The audio will be up at midnight of that night. And then on Thursday, the same thing, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, all 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You will be able to watch and view those live shows on my personal Twitter page at jstevens07, as well as on the YouTube page for the podcast, Locked On Buckeyes on YouTube. Hit that search engine, subscribe, and then hit that bell so you're notified every time a new video goes live. I'm going to back away, bring in Mr. Nathan Baird as him and I recap this past weekend's game against the Ohio State, the Ohio State Buckeyes played against the Maryland Terrapins, and talk about his most recent AP ballot. And joining us now here on Locked On Buckeyes, it is Nathan Baird, Ohio State writer for Cleveland.com, and he is one of the voices you will hear on the Daily Buckeye Talk podcast as well. Nathan, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Jay. How are you doing?
Doing very well, very, very well. A dominant performance over this past weekend on Saturday, going into the bye week, which is amazing for fans, amazing for the teams. The team can still get better, but from what you saw during the game on Saturday, what did you see from this team on both sides of the ball?
Well, it was just sort of an extension of what's been building, I think, for these last couple of weeks. It's interesting to look back to the Oregon loss and then even the Tulsa win and how many questions we still had about this team at that point. It wasn't really a team that was in sync on either side of the ball. And now you see a team, now that CJ Stroud is healthy, what that has seemed to open up now for this offense, what now you start to see in terms of the certainty on defense, guys who know their roles, and I think more importantly, know that everybody else is going to do their role, and you're starting to see a confidence build in that defense. It's still a little bit early to call this a finished product, I think. It's still kind of a construction project, and some things are going to have to get cleaned up in that process, but the momentum that you needed to see coming out of the Oregon game, I think, is what people are seeing right now. And now it's this off week comes at an interesting juncture because they do have this momentum building, but I think it also is a time to look back and say, okay, that was Akron, Maryland, and Rutgers. What do you do with these 2 weeks to get you prepared for six games that are against Big Ten opponents, including three teams that are also ranked in the top 10 right now?
You mentioned the momentum that is building. Did you expect the momentum to be building in this way before the bye week?
you would have assumed on paper that these three games, you know, especially the Akron game, but even more so Maryland and Rutgers, would be weeks that they could get healthy a little bit, healthy in terms of performance, not just health, which is something they are still having to address here, I think, in the bye week. But the extent to which they kind of took it to Rutgers and Maryland was a little bit surprising. You know, Rutgers was coming off of a close game against Michigan, which is Michigan's looked really strong so far, and they outplayed them for a half and looked like they might have some of their own momentum. And then Ohio State came in and kind of, you know, got on them early, and things rolled downhill from there. And then Maryland, you know, prior to that Iowa game, especially, Maryland really looked like a team that could challenge Ohio State as far as what Talia Tungavailoa could do. He was playing really efficiently against lesser teams, but still it was a peak of efficiency compared to what he had shown before last year when he was a pretty inconsistent player. And it looked like maybe that was a team with the receiving weapons it had. Well, then it goes and turns the ball over seven times against Iowa, and they lose their leading receiver, Dante Demas. And that team that came to Ohio Stadium this past weekend was not the Maryland team that existed prior to that Iowa game in a lot of ways, I think, both in terms of personnel and confidence. They were also missing some of their best defensive backs. So what I've kind of been trying to emphasize to Ohio State fans is, you know, be encouraged by what you're seeing, but also be reminded that you're not playing the teams that you need to beat. It's fine that you're rolling through Maryland, and it's important that you're rolling through these teams because it's helping you build depth. It's getting other guys more reps. It's getting guys who are a little bit banged up off the field earlier. Those things are all tangible things, and it's important that they're winning these games emphatically in a way that they didn't against Tulsa. I mean, they were up by 7 with 4 minutes to play against Tulsa. That was not an emphatic win, regardless of what the final score says. So it's good that they're putting these teams away early. What'll matter is what that means in relation to how do they beat Penn State because of what's happened these last three weeks. How do they beat Michigan based on what's happened these last 3 weeks? I mean, those are the things that are still hanging out as like significant hurdles to cross for this team. And these past 3 weeks have told us they're trending in the direction to do that, but I don't know if they've said with certainty that they will.
All right, college football fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks offers every sport you could think of, like NFL, college football, NBA, college basketball, MLB, soccer, MMA, and more. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all the star players of the Power 5 as well as mid-major players as well. Prize Picks offers any prop you could think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com or go to your App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money. When using Rock Auto, why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Go explore their easy-to-use website to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Yeah, they've been trending upward for quite a while, and not just from C.J. Stroud and him not playing, I think it was the Akron game where he didn't play, to the shuffling around on defense and the abnormal way I view it as trying to figure out who the right pieces are to play on defense. That was a little weird to me early in the season. But we're getting to see more of the rotation, more of the guys, especially at that linebacker position that should be on the field. And I think especially the defense, that we saw a really good performance against a team in Maryland that had injuries that you mentioned at wide receiver that really hindered how productive they could have been, because if they're fully healthy, I think they scored 24, 28 points against Ohio State. Not a knock against the defense. That's just how good that passing attack is. I do think the defense, the secondary specifically, has shown strides consecutive game after game after game of really good play. And Nathan, I wonder if those are things that a week off, will that slow down that momentum, or will they be able to build off of that going into the Indiana game on the 23rd?
Well, I think the interesting thing that you're seeing in the secondary right now is, you know, compare this to last year. Let's look at maybe like cover safety as being an example. You know, it seemed like Cam Martinez, well, actually to start the year, it was Lathan Ransom. And then it seemed like Cam Martinez had kind of emerged as the guy to take over that position. Lathan Ransom was moving back to safety where they needed some help, because in the midst of all this good stuff that's gone on, they lost Josh Proctor, who really had turned a corner and looked like he was playing really well at free safety. So it looked like Cam Martinez had kind of taken that spot. Well, then now Marcus Williamson has sort of reemerged as a guy who's like, wait, don't forget about me. Got a lot of praise, I think, from the coaching staff for how he had kind of handled the week of the Rutgers game. And then he starts against Maryland, I thought had a really strong game. So that's a position. The reason I bring that up is a year ago at this time, it was like, well, here we've got, we think we have maybe four defensive backs who can start. And then who knows what's going on below that. Now you can almost look at every position and say, man, there's like a real competition there. Like that, you know, who's going to start at cover safety in this next game? Not because they don't have any options, but because they have multiple options. It seems like either Marcus Williamson or Cam Martinez could be the starter at cover safety going forward. It seems like, you know, Lathan Ransom might be coming along now that he's converted back to what's more his natural position at free safety. Does he challenge Bryson Shaw to be the starter back there, or do they keep going with multiple guys back there? Obviously, Ronnie Hickman seems to have Bullitt pretty much locked down. What sort of competition is happening at the corners? Because Denzel Burke had really just come out of the gates and said, man, I'm just one of the best DBs in the Big Ten. What are you going to do about it? But you still got Cam Brown trying to get healthier. Still got Seven Banks, who's talking about him not quite being 100% yet and still working back to where he wants to be, because he obviously hasn't been what people thought he was going to be to start the year. So now you've got some competition there as to like who deserves to start on a week-to-week basis and how many snaps should you sort of command if you're one of those guys. So that's what makes me think that this bye week wouldn't be necessarily a lull, especially as what you're talking about in terms of the defensive side of the ball, because there just is so much competition. How about defensive end? I mean, you know, Tyreek Smith is coming back, getting healthier. It looked like he was going to play against Maryland. He went through all the warm-ups, so it makes it seem like he is just on the verge of being back. Go back and look at how great he was playing at the end of last year. I mean, go back and look at his Clemson game. And now look at how well this defense is playing right now. And if you just drop what Tyreek Smith was doing late last year on top of that, if he's healthy, it kind of bumps things up a notch. But you've also got Tui Maloau. You've also got Jack Sawyer kind of demanding more snaps. And obviously, Zach Harrison's already there. Javonte Jean-Baptiste had a good game against Maryland. So, like, it starts to build here where last year, the depth situation on this defense, I mean, especially in the secondary, was just so thin. And now you see how these next 2 weeks are not just preparing for Indiana. There's still, like, active battles going on as to who deserves to play more at all these positions. And I think it's going to make this team better going into these next 6 weeks.
I think it's a nice luxury to have. I think it's a luxury and a quality that a lot of coaches, a lot of teams would love to have, to say, I have a guy in Marcus Williams, that you mentioned him earlier, who's not starting, not playing at the beginning of the season, but he gets his chance on the field and he shows, hey, I am one of the guys that can play with this team, with the starters every single week. Lathan Ransom, get him in his right spot. Is he going to challenge Bryson Shaw? I think he might be able to take it over, but it's for the coaches to decide. We're just here to speculate and discuss the things that are going on right now. On offense, we have seen not really much shuffling. We saw a little bit at the running back position, Mayan Williams being out. Teague got more play, got more touches, I think, in one of the games because he had a good week of practice. The offense on the other side of the ball, the only shuffling I've seen over the past couple games is Matt Jones coming in at left guard. And then sometimes I think DeJuan Jones came out, I think, for a play. They went Mumford to left tackle, Petit Frere to right tackle. I don't think we saw that combination very much. I think DeJuan Jones played most of the time, but Matt Jones did come in for Mumford for a little bit. I don't know if that was for injury precaution or if that was just because they want to get Matt Jones back on the field. But that's the only really thing we see at this point in time where there is a lot of shuffling or maybe questions about should somebody be on the field more on the offense. It might just be offensive line. I don't see them moving guys, taking one guy, removing him from the starting lineup, but just possibly allowing Jones to play more because he is that good.
Yeah, I don't know that we have a full concept of exactly what they're trying to accomplish there. If it really is just depth building, if it really is sort of rewarding Matthew Jones for what they've been saying all along, which is that he's played really well in practice and sort of alluding to, because we tried to kind of assess that coming into the season, right? Like, did they make that change and rearrange the offensive line because either Matt Jones or Whipler or whoever, like, just sort of didn't pop the way they wanted to as a potential left guard? And then we saw that Harry Miller was out, so that complicated things a little bit more. So it really, or was it just a matter of DeJuan Jones had played so good that it made them realize what the possibilities were if you flipped Munford around and made him a left guard, etc.? So I think we're starting to learn that, because there were some real criticism. Maybe criticism is a strong word, but the coaching staff just saying, like, you know, Matt Jones looks great sometimes and sometimes he isn't quite there. And we talked to Matt Jones about that a couple weeks ago, and he said, like, yeah, I know what they were saying. Like, it makes sense. I mean, I needed to be more consistent, and you can't be more consistent unless you play, obviously. So now he's kind of getting that chance in this second role. And I'm intrigued to see if they kind of keep rolling guys. That's not a conventional way to do it. Usually you like to get your five offensive linemen and let them establish, because cohesiveness along the offensive line is an important factor, I think. But they were in a situation these last couple of weeks where they could do it, and it made sense just from where the game control was. I would say I wouldn't use the term that it's a luxury that they have this. I mean, especially on defense, I think it's critical that they have it on defense because, number one, like I said before, it's a way to keep guys engaged, and it's a way to keep guys improving throughout a season that they know they have to fight to keep getting those snaps. But also, you don't know when the next Josh Proctor situation is going to come up, unfortunately. No. Like, you know, we saw it. Think about last year, two games in at Penn State when Cam Brown tears his Achilles. And at the time, it seems like, you know, it's too bad. You know, he had really looked like he might have a spot, you know, but it didn't seem devastating. And I think it kind of was when they didn't have that extra option at cornerback last year that could have filled it at any number of spots. When, you know, when Sean Wade needed to come off the field, if Seven Banks needed to come off the field, like, there was a real drop in terms of who could go in there next. And those guys hardly ever did come off the field, it seemed like. So last year, one reserve injury in the secondary was, like, sort of devastating. And this year, you have a starter going out, your most experienced starter at safety, which seemed like it was just going to be a potential catastrophe. And so far, it's been okay. Like, they've plugged that hole. I do think they need to are going to get challenged by some other teams later in a way that Rutgers and Maryland couldn't. But they've also made some schematic changes that have helped fix that as well.
In what ways do you think they'll be challenged down the road after they come off this bye week?
Well, you're going to see some teams. Indiana is a team that we thought coming into the year, this is going to be kind of like a de facto Big Ten East championship game. I don't think that's obviously played out that way. And the challenge that Indiana's going to present, I think, will be more on the defensive side of the ball, actually. They're not going to be able to score at a level that keeps up with what Ohio State can do right now offensively. And that's the switch that has been flipped over the course of this Ohio State season was, now that C.J. Stroud's healthy, this offense is going to put up 40. So who can really score 40 and keep up with them? But where Indiana is going to maybe challenge them a little bit is they've got decent players at all three levels of the defense. You know, Maryland was missing its best cornerbacks. It's already tough to keep up with what Ohio State's doing at receiver right now when you're not missing those guys. And once those guys are out, you're in real trouble. So the teams that I'm more intrigued to see them against later is Penn State, Michigan. There's a little bit more balance on offense from both those guys. And they both have some skill talent that you think equates with Ohio State or is better, you know, whether that's Jahan Dotson for Penn State. We saw what he did against Ohio State last year. We just don't know what the situation is going to be for them at quarterback. If it's not Sean Clifford, that lessens their chances, I think, of challenging Ohio State. And with Michigan, there still seems like there's something growing there for them. They just came off of a win, but not a, like, exciting win. Well, kind of exciting if you were just watching the game, I suppose, but not an encouraging win for them. A 32-29 at Nebraska, where they give up 29 second half points. And that's been a little bit of a theme for Michigan, to, like, get out the leads and then have it have to kind of hold on the second half, because that happened against Rutgers too. So I think they've got to find a way to boost that offense into another level. They're running the ball really well with a couple of guys, But the passing game doesn't really threaten you right now. So you wonder, do they stay with Cade McNamara there as kind of the game manager situation, or do you go to J.J. McCarthy, their five-star freshman, and does he kind of inject something else into this offense? They're on bye this week, and so is Penn State. I think Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, I think, are all on bye this week, all off this week. So that's three teams like getting right to the middle of a season and having to sort of, you know, try to take this next step forward and getting 2 weeks to build into their next opponent.
We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, prompts, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and it's all one word to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hey guys, so there are a few things in life that just aren't fun to talk about. One of them is excessive sweating. You know, when you are sweating through your shirts for no reason. It's embarrassing, right? Some of you may know that I personally have dealt with this. When I speak in public, I can't help but sweat through my shirt. Now listen, I know this isn't life and death, and there are much worse problems in the world, but let's be honest, in the moment, it feels like a big deal. Nobody likes to pit out during an important speech, interview, or first date, God forbid. I'd much rather not worry about it, and that's why I use SweatBlock and antiperspirant wipes. SweatBlock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime. Go to bed. The next morning, you wake up, wash, and go about your day without worrying about sweat. Guaranteed. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out SweatBlock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS. You mentioned something earlier that I'm going to touch on before getting to your AP ballot. You said some things about this past game. I wanted to hit this at some point that needed to be cleaned up going forward. You kind of touched on a few of them, but I specifically, I don't know if you saw this when you were watching the game, but the rushing game, the running the ball in the first half really was obsolete, wasn't there. That's possibly concerning. Now, I know you could turn it around second half adjustments. You see things via people in the press box, coming down. Oh, well, I saw this. This will work here. It all works that way. I wonder if that's one thing you see needs to be cleaned up is more running in the first half, more less passing, more of a balanced attack to kind of keep the defense honest, the opposition honest, or is it something else you think needs to be cleaned up going forward?
That seemed in real time, and I actually have only kind of gone back and done a rewatch on the defensive side. I didn't look at the offense that closely. It's kind of on my agenda for today. But in real time, it seemed like Maryland selling out a little bit to stop the run. Like that was kind of there. And then, you know, force CJ Stroud to make decisions and play mistake free. And he certainly did that. When this offense does what it's supposed to do, this is, if we were talking about this offense back in like, May or February, this is, I think, what we envisioned at the time. Like, if this is hitting on all cylinders, if CJ Stroud wins the job, or Kyle McCord, whoever at the time had won the job and looked ready and was in sync and doing things, then with these receivers, and then if Trevion Henderson got to his potential quick, which he has, then this is what this offense could look like. And we didn't see that the first couple of weeks, but we're certainly seeing it now. Mm-hmm. So I think what you're putting teams in a bind. You're putting defenses in a bind right now. I don't know what you're supposed to do sometimes against Ohio State offensively or defensively right now, because there was a play in this game that, like, when I was doing a rewatch the other day, it jumped out at me again, where they bring, I think it was Garrett Wilson across in motion on sort of like that jet sweep thing that they've done a couple times. They sort of just, that's just for show. So you got the defense leaning one way, because you have to respect that, because he's pulled that, torn that off for like 50 yards at a time before. And then there's a play action fake to Trevion Henderson. You've got to respect that. Safeties are going to have to get caught, like, no worse than get caught flat footed there, because Trayvon Henderson has shown the ability to break one anytime. But actually what's happening on that play has nothing to do with either of those things. It's Chris Olave is going to get deep open over the top of the defense and it goes for a long touchdown. And, you know, they don't do that on every play, but because you have to respect so many different parts of this offense right now as being like a potential game breaker, it's impossible to like really account for all those things equally, especially when you're undermanned the way that Maryland was. So I think some of what you saw from the running game early against Maryland was Maryland played well up front and it really came out to take that away, that they weren't going to let themselves get, you know, have somebody break long touchdown runs on them. The problem was that just left them so vulnerable in the back end, but that's the poison that people are going to have to pick a little bit until you start seeing some teams. When I look at the teams that are left on this schedule, I think Indiana, I am really kind of intrigued by them and how they're going to try to match up against Ohio State, because I do think they have good defensive players. I think Penn State has good defensive players. I think Michigan has good defensive players. Do they have enough that they're going to be able to stop Ohio State? You're not going to stop Ohio State, but what you've got to try to do is make Ohio State drive. You can't give up the explosive play, or you got to limit the explosive plays. You've got to make them drive. If you're making Ohio State drive, it, as we saw against Oregon, like, you know, they still scored 28 points against Oregon, but what Oregon made them do was stay on the field, like keep having to move the chains. Don't just get those bombs and get those long breakaway runs, because every time you do that, it increases the chances that there'll be a mistake or they just won't convert and now they have to punt. You know, you've got to keep them, you got to keep them on the field. And that's really the only chance that a defense has at this point.
Let's look at your AP ballot to close this show up. You are an AP voter. I do see somebody, I think it's Reddit or somebody like that, tweets out every AP voter, their ballot from 1 through 25. Where did you have Ohio State this week in your ballot?
So I'm glad you brought this up. It's been quite a topic of conversation the last couple of days. I have Ohio State 8th on my ballot. Do I think there are seven teams in the in college football playing better than Ohio State right now? No, I don't think there are. But here's the problem. This is not a power ranking. This is not me saying who would win a game on a given day. This is an assessment of resumes, basically. Who have you beaten? Who have you lost to? And how do those things balance out? So, for instance, I still have Penn State ahead of Ohio State. Penn State has beaten Auburn. Penn State went on the road and beat Wisconsin to open the season. I know Wisconsin hasn't looked good, but Wisconsin's a great defense, like a really good defense. Yes. They're a mess on offense, but they're a really good defense, and that's not an easy game to win. Like that's so right there, that's two wins better than any opponent that Ohio State has beaten this year. Because that's the other thing. Like, look at I know Ohio State looks really good right now, but who have they actually beaten? And I'm still having trouble putting them ahead of Oregon. I know Oregon looks compromised right now. They look suspect. I understand why people make that assumption, but Oregon also came to Ohio State and won. And when they've only each got one loss, and Oregon's loss was a weird overtime loss against Stanford. Thibodeau gets ejected late in that game. They didn't have Joe Moorhead at that game. Like, there was a lot of weird things that went on for Oregon. I can't, like, when you start throwing the results out and just trying to throw a dart and hit who the good team is that week, I don't think that really gives you a good assessment of the country. You know, Alabama loses. And I was getting a lot of questions of like, why did Alabama only drop a little bit when Ohio State dropped more? But the problem is you're talking about two completely different weeks of the poll. You know, Ohio State, two games into the year, had a iffy win at Minnesota, where it looked pretty vulnerable in a lot of ways, and a loss. Whereas Alabama, I know that Texas A&M technically wasn't ranked last week, and that was a loss on the road against a team that had been ranked and is now ranked again. Texas A&M is good, as is Oregon, but Alabama had also already beaten Ole Miss. It had already won at Florida. Like, it has good quality wins. It beat other top 25 caliber teams. Ohio State, the only top 25 caliber team they've played, they lost at home to Oregon. Mm-hmm. So I would actually argue, the more I think about this, I had Ohio State 8th behind Penn State and Alabama and Oregon and the undefeated teams at the top. You can make a strong case that Ohio State should actually have been 10th on my ballot, that both Michigan and Kentucky should also be ahead of them, because those are teams that have actually beaten someone of consequence this year, and they're both undefeated. I wouldn't go so far probably to put them ahead of Oklahoma State and Michigan State, but if I had to submit this ballot again, and I thought about it at the time, I'd like being like on the fence, like, should Ohio State be as low as 10th? But I still put out a column today saying I think Ohio State's going to win the East and win the Big Ten championship game. And it's two different assessments. It's two different assessments. One is like Iowa. Why is Iowa the number two team in the country on like everybody's ballot right now, or just about everybody's, except the people who inexplicably kept Alabama at number two, because they've beaten Penn State. They won at Iowa State. They beat Indiana, which has its problems, but is still a quality team. Like, again, like what win that Ohio State has over what opponent equates to those kinds of wins? Like, that's the missing thing from Ohio State's resume. So what will it take for Ohio State to climb? They're just gonna have to get on. Number one, some of these other teams are gonna lose. Oregon's probably gonna lose again. You know, something like that's gonna happen. Penn State could lose again. Michigan could lose and take them out of consideration. So that's gonna happen. But also, Ohio State's going to get on the field. Like, the back half of the schedule is more loaded. You've got Michigan State, Michigan, and Penn State that are all top 10 teams. You even got a team like Purdue that isn't that good, but overall. But they've got David Bell, who's among the best receivers in the country. They got George Karlaftis, who's among the best defensive players in the country, period. And even that, like, if you go in and start beating teams like that the way you've been beating Maryland and Rutgers, if you kind of keep this going, I think that's what helps them climb in the polls. And by the way, this is the same way that the playoff committee would be looking at it right now. Mm-hmm. Everybody who thinks that I have Ohio State ranked too low, if the playoff were decided today, Ohio State would not be in the four. Mm-mm. They Mm-mm. would not be ahead of Iowa. They would not be ahead of Cincinnati. They would not even be ahead of Oklahoma, which is one is 6-0 in a pretty sketchy way. They keep sneaking by, but they're 6-0. I don't think they would be ahead. So who cares what I have them ranked? What you need to care about is where the committee is going to have them ranked at the end of the year, and Ohio State needs to start beating some good teams. Because right now, these six games, the last three have shown them trending towards this sort of dynamic power and the balance that the committee wants to see on both sides of the ball. The committee cares most of all about who you've beaten, and Ohio State hasn't beaten somebody that anybody respects very much yet.
One more question for you before we close up shop. Who is a tougher opponent for Ohio State in November? Michigan State or Michigan?
I still think Michigan. I think Michigan State it's really admirable what Mel Tucker has done. He's turned this around faster than anybody expected. Michigan State was by far, like, easily voted last in the Big Ten East. We had a 34-member voting panel for our preseason Big Ten poll that we do every year. And I think only five people or something like that voted Michigan State as high as even fifth in the East. And right now, they get to midseason, they're undefeated, and they're number 10 in the country. So some of that is they haven't had to go beat anybody really good. It seemed like when they went and beat Miami going into that week, that seemed like it was maybe going to be a credible win. And now that seems like the last fleeting whisper of respect anybody has for Miami this year, that they just turned out to not be good at all. And now Derek King's out for the year, so their season's really falling apart. But they're going to have some tests. Like, it gets tough for them in November. They've got the same thing, I guess, that Ohio State does. They've got to play. They have to still play Penn State. They still have to play Michigan. So we're going to find out more about them in the second half. But I still think Michigan is the tougher. They just have better athletes across the board than Michigan State does at this point. And what they're doing in the running game at least gives them an identity. We know what Michigan is based on. I still, though, and they're playing good defense, too. They also have a guy, Aiden Hutchinson, on the defensive side of the ball. You know, right now, Ohio State doesn't have Mm-mm. one of those guys who is like a national super talent yet. Michigan does. Aiden Hutchinson is doing that. He's, I think, coming after this past weekend's games, he was the highest rated defensive player in the country per PFF. And sometimes those grades can be a little wonky, but over the long term, I think they kind of show you some truths. And he's playing really well. He's leading the Big Ten in sacks, or was going into this week. So they've got one of those guys on that side of the ball. They've got the running game. I still think they're going to have to figure some things out as far as balancing that offense to really be able to score at the level you're going to need against Ohio State. But that's also it's on the road. And weirder things have happened than this kind of Ohio State losing to that kind of Michigan team, as happens in a rivalry. So the good thing, if you're an Ohio State fan, I suppose, is that the focus on that game has not wavered under Ryan Day. It may have even intensified in some ways, just because of how paranoid he's always been about that one loss that can capsize the season. And now, obviously, a second loss would really do it. So there's going to be a lot to play for that week, and I think Ohio State wins. But that's the team that I'm kind of looking at Michigan's growth here in the next 6 weeks, if it can keep growing in the next 6 weeks, and what that could mean for that Thanksgiving weekend game.
Nathan, this has been a lot of fun. If you could very quickly let everyone know where they can catch you on Twitter if they're not watching on YouTube, and where they can catch all the good things you guys are doing right now at cleveland.com.
So NW Baird is my Twitter. If you anywhere you can find podcasts, you'll find Buckeye Talk. We do 5 days a week. Stephen Means and I just recorded one this morning that's kind of a catch-up on Ohio State recruiting stuff that'll be out Tuesday morning. We do those 5 days a week. It's Monday through Friday this week, but usually it's Monday, then Wednesday through Saturday, because we do a post-game pod. And then we have a subtext service, 614-350-3315. If you send a text to that number, you'll get a link. But you can also just Google Buckeye Talk subtext. It's a 2-week free trial and $3.99 a month after that. But we're texting news and analysis and everything we're hearing straight to your phone. And we have a great interaction with that with our podcast, too. That's where we do a lot of surveys and conversations and stuff and get the fans involved. So we have a lot of fun with that. 614-350-3315. Thanks for letting me plug that.
No problem. The podcast, is it just football or will it be basketball once basketball season starts?
It is mostly football. I would say for year round, it's like it's mostly football, and then like just some nonsense stuff. We like to talk about fast food and all sorts of other stuff like that, because that's what sports writers do. But there is some basketball. Stephen Means is our basketball beat writer. So as we get closer to the season, we'll have more basketball talk, and then throughout the season, it's something we will touch on.
Gotcha. Nathan, this has been a lot of fun. Guys, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. We will be locked in all week long, helping kind of do a little mid-season grades for the Ohio State offense and defense. That will be coming up Thursday and Friday here on the show.